Evening, playmates, and welcome to this week's Naked Football Show. In the studio, we welcome back, after a long hiatus, Mr. Daniel Potter.
Indeed, not the Cambridge United goalkeeper.
Not the Cambridge United goalkeeper he hastens to add.
Who's also from Ipswich, which is a very strange coincidence, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, right, he is, yeah, I know his dad. I know he's dead. Joining Dan, we welcome a naked virgin tonight in the shape of Johnny Layston.
Hello there.
A fine footballing name, if ever there was one. And we'll discuss last night's draw. Sorry, I missed poor old Phil out.
Yeah.
Sorry, Phil. And, of course, the night would not be right without the icing on the cake, Mr. Phil Ham from Those Were the Days.
Blimey, yeah.
Sorry, Phil. We'll discuss last night's draw at Wolves and why my roommate, the Silver Fox, snores so loudly. If you could, if his partner's listening, please do something about it. Kill him would be good. And we'll take a look at the excellent Youth Cup game, I think, as well. You didn't mention that.
I didn't talk about that.
You didn't. I did. That was excellent. And anything you'd like to bring up. So email usual studio@icrfm.co.uk or drop us a text on 07797 800 712. Want to start with Wolves, Phil?
Yeah. 0-0. There you go. I mean, actually, 0-0, everyone was like, oh, 0-0. But I think it's one of the better 0-0s that you get, not like the Plymouth game earlier in the season, which really was sort of, you know, cut your own throat.
Yeah. It wasn't a bad 0-0, was it?
But yeah, it was very, very good. I mean, it was a sort of fairly typical Town away performance, I think, from what sort of away fans have probably got used to, which is sort of largely defensive, but catching the opposition on the break with sort of with counter attacks and. Another day, it was one of those games that could have gone either way, really. They had a couple of chances, we had a couple of chances. We, I think, had more shots on target and off target than they did, despite them having more of the ball. I thought Mick McCarthy overstated how well his team played and overstated how defensive we were. You were there as well, weren't you?
Mm, yes. No, I pretty much agree with you. We talked about this in the bar beforehand, didn't we? In the green room. Yeah, that was quite a good performance. I thought they played well, actually,
yeah. Tan.
And as you said in your column, we actually had more chances than they did at the end of the day, and could have snuck the game.
If John Stead had been awake and not waiting for a linesman's flag that never came, I think then, I think, you know, plenty of other strikers would have just banged it in, wouldn't they?
Mm.
But he kind of was like, sort of, oh, am I offside? And he wafted it sort of gently towards goal, and it didn't really.
But he looked shocked, didn't he?
Yeah, he did look shocked.
To be given that much room.
And because they just got it totally wrong.
Totally wrong.
Defense, as they pulled out, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I read one or two reports that seemed that completely ignored that. So I think one or two reporters seemed to think that he was offside in that circumstance as well. But you know, but there again, you know, it happened. A point. I think after the Southampton game, we'd been happy with to lose 2-0 at Wolves. So I think getting a point is a bonus, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't think neither of you two made it as far as.
Just a few things on Wolves. Do you think that they perhaps will become a bit edgy towards the final third of the season as we are in now?
They're a bit edgy already, aren't they?
Or do you think they'll just about get enough points to get over the line?
Well, a friend of mine reckons that. Well, this was prior to them losing to Norwich last night. He reckoned that Cardiff were going to win the division based on the stats and the kind of form at the moment. Do you know Cardiff have got one or two games in hand, haven't they?
Yeah, so got a couple.
So, yeah, I mean, everyone is wobbling, aren't they?
Yeah, some of even Sheffield United are coming strong now, so.
But
I think with a 0-0 draw last night, that would have been great at the beginning of the season, but at this stage, it's very much like the end of last season. We went to Wolves, we went to Preston, we got good draws, but it wasn't enough.
No.
We really need 3 points.
But yeah.
A draw at Wolves is always good, but it's not enough.
We never get wins at Wolves. Last time we won, there was the promotion season in 91-92.
Yeah.
Which, you know. It does say
it's only been that long.
Yeah.
Jason Dazelle picked the winner, didn't he, that day, I think.
I think you're right. I think Linegan scored one and Dazelle scored the other, yeah. I think the guy who scored their goal was Paul Birch, who I think died of cancer a couple of months ago, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You're right. I mean, it's a bit too little too late in a way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Getting good results this time of the season against the top teams, which is something that we palpably haven't done throughout the season so far, with the exception of Reading, of course, who we beat at Portman Road. Do you think Saturday we're going to go in and get much at Reading now?
No, I think two good performances in a week, unlikely.
I'm a bit more optimistic than that. I think they'll set out the same kind of tactics. I think McCauley back from suspension might help a little bit, stabilise the backboard a bit more. And they will try and counter as they did, well, in the end, not quite effectively for a goal, but perhaps enough maybe this time to go all the way and get 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I didn't think yesterday's performance was that much different than Crystal Palace. I'm trying to think of others now that we're... Burnley, even right at the beginning of the season, that was a largely counter-attacking performance. Derby certainly was back to the wall for the majority of it. So, you know, we found an effective way of playing away from home. I think everyone's happy with the I don't know what it is now. We've won 7, we've drawn 4 or something, and we've lost 5 or whatever it is, roughly. Right, away from home, that's a decent enough promotion record. But it's home, isn't it? That's the problem, that we've not yet found an effective way of playing at home. I mean, what do you think the difference is between why we're doing so well away and so poorly at home?
I wonder whether the fans are now getting the team on edge, and it's working against us, that every time that everyone makes a mistake, the fans are on the back straight away.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that, you know, North standards that I know, you know, that it sets the precedent for the game almost. The first 5 minutes that someone makes a mistake in defence, be it McCauley, be it whoever it is, it's not as if they're getting on that particular player's back, but it kind of sets them, we're not going to get much out of this, are we, today? It doesn't look like it's going to be our day, they don't fancy it. And all those kind of points, you know, seem to resonate around the stadium, which doesn't help the players too much. But I suppose if you're kind of bolder, braver, you kind of have to try and shirk that off and do the
best. Well, yeah. I mean, funny enough you say that, and obviously there's an element of the crowd becoming nervous because of an early error. But I was talking to one of the academy coaches, funny enough, a couple of weeks ago, and I think it was the Forest game. And you might correct me in this, but Alex Bruce, right at the beginning, sort of slipped and almost lost possession and played in one of their players within the first 3 or 4 minutes. Do you remember that? At the Churchman's End. And this coach, I won't say who he is, it's embarrassing, but he said that he felt that that had made the team nervous from the start. Do you know what I mean? They'd kind of gone out there, obviously, you know, get your sort of big... pre-match talk from the manager, go out there and win, you know, whatever they words of advice they have, and that's kind of, you know, got through the rest of the team, and as you say, then gets on to the crowd, or the crowd are perhaps a bit nervous anyway, and there's a bit of kind of animosity between the team and the crowd, and it doesn't help, does it? But
but
we play differently, don't we? I mean, I think to some extent, away from home, as we were saying about the Wolves game, we defended in depth and played a counter-attacking game. At home, we can't do that.
No.
Particularly against Forest or someone else who's just sort of probably coming for a point against us, because you basically have two teams standing at either end of the pitch with the ball not being touched in the middle. I mean, you know, the thing we seem incapable of doing is taking the game to the opposition at home. That's what I think.
Yeah, and keeping it tight at the back at the same time.
Yeah.
Because I've thought for a while that teams figured out they come to Portman Road, if they can defend well, they can catch us on the break easily. I thought that for a few seasons now.
Certainly the reverse is true, isn't it, that teams adopt that strategy at Portman Road, and we've seen it far too often. What perhaps needs to happen to counter that is just being stronger on the ball. Ball retention, yes, certainly, playing well, but having that little bit of strength to sort of not be pushed over that well.
Do you think that's partly why Magilton started playing sort of Norris, Quinn and Miller in the midfield, so to provide a bit more running, so that if we do kind of lose the ball in possession at one end of the field, we've got plenty of players who will get back or able to get back, rather than the I'm trying to think, I don't think Garvin's quick enough as a runner. Shumilakoski doesn't really get forward, he just sort of sits, doesn't he?
He doesn't get a game, let alone get forward, poor old boy.
No, but if, you know, when he's playing, I mean, I'm not talking, obviously he's got an excuse for not getting forward if he's not on the pitch, but yeah, I mean, do you think that's part of behind that thinking?
Possibly, yeah. It seems to be what he prefers. You know, a hard run in midfield. And that's unfortunate, because then where does Owen Garvin come into it?
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, they've bought a very large number of midfield players, and at the moment, I think a lot of people. I mean, this story today about QPR perhaps wanting Shumilakoski, and people start saying, well, he should be in our team. I mean, what do you think is our best midfield four?
I don't know about a combination, but let's go Javelli, Norris, Garvin, Shumi.
So
I don't know how they'd play together, but
individually. Presumably with Norris wide on the right.
Yes, Javelli on the left, and then Garvin and Schumacher-Lekoski.
And then where did John Walters go?
No Walters.
Up front.
He got, you think Walters up front?
Yeah.
With?
Pablo.
With Pablo.
I think yesterday, we had the, again, we were in the bar just before the game, and both we were talking about Lisby up front yesterday. He seemed actually totally marooned. Now, whether you like or hate him, or people out there, I know that they're sort of into two camps, but he was totally marooned out there on his own and seemed quite incapable of holding the ball up when we had five in the middle. I mean, when John Walters went off, instead of, like you suggested, bringing Stead on in as a replacement, he brought Pablo on. So almost were playing one and a half up front, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Pablo was playing a bit deeper, but it gave him a bit more of an outlet and we started to improve a bit. And I think if you're going to play one up front, you've got to play someone like Stead. I would have thought you can at least hold the ball and bring people into the game, because Lisby just couldn't do it.
I think Lisby's done well with when he's up, been up front on his own generally.
Yeah.
But
if there's gaps for him to exploit in his pace, he can do that.
But yesterday I didn't think he did as well as he had done, I have to say. And Pablo came on, but it did take us about 20 minutes to settle into the new formation.
Yeah.
I don't know, I mean... I mean, I think our main problem is strikers, I really do. One of our main problems.
The thing I've always worried about Lisby, though, is the ball over the top he prefers. I mean, you know, he spent a lot of years at Colchester and a few at Charlton, I think, and a lot of the time he'd just prefer that direct football, that way of playing, which was great in League One, great at the top end of that league, and maybe for the bottom end of the Championship, you know, if you get the right result at the right time. But is it necessarily right for Townsend? Has he had to adopt a certain different way of playing in order to complement the other players on the field?
I mean, he's certainly no Danny Haynes, is he, in terms of pace? I mean, you watch the ball played over the top of Lisby, and he's outpaced a lot of the time. I think maybe he may have been that sort of player earlier on in his career, but I wonder whether injuries have perhaps affected him. It often happens with players, and he does tend to sort of turn back and hold the ball up and bring players in rather than being that very direct player that, I mean, certainly I remember him being like that when he was at Charlton in his sort of Premier League days, which must seem quite a long way away at the moment. But I mean, I just think we don't have someone, and we've said this week after week, we don't have someone who's going to score 20 odd goals in the season, and we don't have that sort of David Johnson.
I know, it was Franny Jeffers was man of the match yesterday for Sheffield Wednesday. He scored a goal and nearly scored another.
Did he really?
Looked very sharp, yeah. Get him back, I say. I know they hate him now.
Yeah, you'll get a text from old Git now saying how much he hates Franny Jeffers.
But he does put the ball in the net when he's fit, which, as you say, isn't
I think we
His impact is instant, isn't it?
So
he comes in.
But that's what I think that's what you were saying, really.
We
just need something like that at the fox in the box, as we keep saying.
Mm.
That can just turn any chances into goals, because we're making chances. In The Guardian, I observed on Sunday, actually noticed we've had more shots. I find it's very hard to believe, especially looking back to last Tuesday. Apparently we've had more shots on target than anyone in that division, including Wolves.
I think I said that in The Star about four weeks ago.
Oh, right.
I think we've hit the woodwork more times than anyone else.
Yeah.
And last season we hit the woodwork more than anybody else, which is really bizarre. I wonder whether just the posts are a bit wider at Portman Road.
Maybe they have woodwork training in
and get Alan Ferguson to start measuring everything up to make sure that
if we just move the goals a couple of mil to the left, then everything that should hit the woodwork will go in.
Perhaps that's right. So have we got anything
Pabs and Lee, who both of them presumably were there last night. Civelli looks to be getting stronger. Thought he had a great game last night. I'll agree with that. Thought he played very well.
As the bit of space opened up, I thought it started to suit him more, and he's getting a bit of confidence. I think that's what
Johnny's saying. Yeah, he sort of was thrown in, sort of not quite match fit, wasn't he? And had to sort of learn the hard way, so to speak. He wasn't given any much reserve game, so I think he's done very well, and hopefully.
And Jim stuck with him as well. That's the good thing.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Because he, he has.
So have you been impressed with Civelli? What you've seen of him?
I think I don't understand people still saying we need a left midfielder, because I don't think we've seen Civelli yet.
No, I don't.
I think there's a lot more to come, and we've got to give him a chance.
I just hope the impact is fast and forthcoming. I don't know about how it will be this season. I certainly haven't seen as much of him as you guys have, but I think the early signs look good. How he links in with Cunhago, who's probably in for the long haul, remains to be seen. We'll just have to keep an eye on him. But I'd say from what the report suggests, I mean, looks as if got a promising player at least for the season to come.
Well, that's it. I think you'd probably look at where he is next season rather than this season. I don't think you'll be able to judge him this year because of
not yet.
Because of the fact he came to the club unfit. Oh, less than fit.
Yeah, yeah.
But and coming into English football, which is very different, isn't it?
But he hasn't let himself down. I think that's the thing. So far, he's managed to keep some level of performance up, and that's quite good.
So we like him.
Looking good on that front, we'll give him an 8 out of 10. Right, James Cummings. Logic dictates, he's put in brackets, I know I'm already going to lose this argument starting with that statement. Logic dictates that you shouldn't drop a striker after scoring a goal and playing well. Ergo, we're getting into Latin now, having kept the division's most potent strike force at bay last night, you shouldn't drop any of the back four for Saturday's game away at Reading, or should you? I.e., should Gareth McCauley start, do you think?
I mean, I certainly think McCauley should start because he is our strongest defender. And I know Pim Balkestein had an excellent game yesterday, probably one of his best games at centre-half after what was a bit of a nightmare against Southampton for the second time this season. I think, McCauley will come back. And, I mean, again, alongside Campo, which I think we come back to probably what was our strongest centre-half pairing at Christmas.
Well, I think it's a pity that we didn't play Campo in defence earlier instead of trying to play him in midfield.
Yeah.
When he first came.
Especially when you have another 100 midfield players anyway, though.
Yeah.
To play with.
I suspect he was bought as a midfield player, though, or brought in as a midfield player.
That's where he was playing at Bolton, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, I talked to my next door neighbour's a Bolton supporter, unfortunately. I said, oh, we signed Campo. And he went, oh, you don't want to play him at the back, because I think they felt he'd become a bit of a nightmare at the back, but. Games he's played for us, I think he's done really well.
It looks good, yeah.
Well, he played well yesterday, didn't he? Very good.
He's always in the thick of the action. You never quite know how he's got there, but he's sort of there with his hair.
I think it's testament to him, really, to carry on the way he has at such an age. I thought that Town would have got him in his twilight year. Well, they have got him in his twilight years, but you know that the performances wouldn't quite be as measured as they were season after season at Bolton Wanderers. And it's been a pleasant surprise to see him really coming on strong in the last half of the campaign. So
obviously the injury sort of knocked him back a bit, but to be honest, he looks like a player who probably doesn't need to get to full match fitness because he doesn't really do a lot of running, does he?
No.
It's all in his head.
Exactly.
Yeah, he did do one of those. Do you remember John Walt used to do this thing where a ball would come over the top? And he'd be the centre half at this stage of his career. And he'd just sort of flick it off the back of his head to Craig Forrest or whatever. And Campo did exactly that yesterday.
Oh, he did that brilliantly yesterday.
It just reminded me so much of John Walk in his kind of. Yeah.
Except it was an afro, not a mullet.
So yeah.
The same kind of thing applies there. Yeah.
It was good, And so any others on the old.
Right, this is still about Wolves, but on a completely different subject. This is Delia's Plums. Good evening, folks.
Good evening.
A curious night at Wolves last night. Thoroughly enjoyed the game as a contest. Great to see the boys really battling for each other to the very end. However, I'd like to have a good bitch and moan about the £27.50 accommodation. Actually, Mrs. Plums, I only paid £27.40. Didn't you?
I honestly haven't got a clue.
I've got my ticket here, actually. I'll have a look in a minute. So you were ripped off by the
tenpence.
Oh, 10p. But no, it was quite a lot to pay. But however, we charge that for away fans as well, don't we? Which is not
for. Well, I mean, basically, I think what we're presumably moaning about is the fact that we were kind of in a long.
Oh, he's going to get back.
Along the side.
He's going to get onto that.
About four rows.
But I think he's saying that it's quite a lot of money to pay for what he's just going to mention in a minute, or what I'm going to mention.
It's a very poor view. I mean,
it's rubbish, and the atmosphere is dead there because it's just like standing in an open side terrace almost. It's so vast, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, what they seem to do at Wolves is they stick you in the. I think it's called the Jack Harris stand. I don't know who Jack Harris is. At the end, if there's a load of us coming, like if it's a Saturday, presumably, and then if it's a midweek, they stick us at the side, and it's sort of about four rows deep all the way along the ground. There wasn't about 400 of us. And there's no atmosphere at all, as he says, and so 27.50 is a bit...
It is a bit steep. Right, I'll read out what he says. Has any of you managed to get the marks off your legs from the ridiculous seating arrangements? The amount of leg room in the rear two seats, two rows at least, wouldn't even be attempted by Ryanair. I was fortunate...
You have to pay for the toilets as well.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you do now. And you're going to pay for... you're going to have to pay for booking online, apparently, with Ryanair now.
And when those little things come down, you know, oxygen masks.
They'll charge you for the oxygen. 10p in the slot. I was fortunate enough to be on the end, so I've got a twisted back from sitting at an odd angle for 90 minutes. The poor guy next to me was probably still uncurling himself this morning. I can see why the home fans no longer want to sit there. The clever bit is the fact that the design of the away enclosure and the insistence on allocated seats kills any away atmosphere. It was more like watching cricket. Ooh. It was more like watching cricket without the falling over water, of course. which, of course, we're not allowed to drink either there. Mm. Also, is the lower stand of the Steve Ball stand... is the lower tier of the Steve Ball stand the only away end in the country with more space under the stand than in it?
Yeah, it's slightly cavernous, isn't it? Burnley's a bit like
cavernous,
that. But yeah, they seem to only stick you there when it's... on some occasions, and then they stick you at the end on others.
I've been in both positions for some daft reason.
I think it is to do with when they're expecting a bigger crowd, they'll stick you at the end.
But then when we... was it our promotion season or when we were having a good season, they stuck us in the side because we got the whole side, didn't we?
When we lost 2-0 and Harvard Flow scored?
I think we did, yes.
Yeah, I remember that. Another miserable day at Molineux.
But I also, there was, on the same subject, there was a couple of guys, it's probably Delia's Plums here actually, was arguing with the stewards about the fact that all the Wolves fans in the home end were standing up all throughout the game, weren't they? And they kept telling us to sit down. And these guys were on the end, so it may well have been him. Didn't get any luck with the stewards. When they first started talking, I heard the stewards saying, well, if you don't like it, you know, we'll just remove you or something. Mm. And then one of the senior stewards came over and tried to explain, but it still doesn't answer
the question.
There's
nothing, what annoys people is inconsistency, isn't it? When you see sort of a great load of people standing in one area and you're told to sit down in another.
Yeah, I mean, I have a friend, I think he's listening tonight, Paul, been to Molineux and has had the worst footballing experience as a Town fan going there. He said that they're seemed to be no sort of easy entry exit points, and when he tried to leave, get back to leave with the coach, just being almost like being chased out of the ground. You said 400 were there last night, even fewer were there then. I think we're going back to a game mid to late 90s, and just said he was just absolutely petrified, just running back to the coach, you know, and you know, obscene gestures from the Wolves fans, awful experience, and just couldn't wait to get home. You know.
No, it's not one of my favourite places to go to football, but mainly because we lose.
They do create a good atmosphere there, but again, we were discussing this beforehand, it's the design of those cop-like stands where it's just straight up is much more conducive to making a loud noise, a la Portsmouth, etc. Which is what apparently Sheepy wanted to do here, wasn't it, with the North Stand originally?
That was a plan, yeah. I think we had a game at Portsmouth when they were particularly loud, and that was his plan, but I think it was too... The space that was that we could build on for the North Stand, there wasn't enough room to have a cop, so they had to go for this sort of two-tier cantilevered.
Which is a shame, because even when the North Stand is in full voice, it's often in two full voices. One's cancelling out the other. But
So anything else on the?
Well, the only other one is exactly what we talked about earlier. Dan from Ipswich, it's not this Dan, obviously.
No.
Unless you sent to it. I can understand I can't understand why Lisby played up front on his own for much of the game yesterday. Surely Stead is far better at holding the ball up if we're playing only one up front.
I can see the point, but I think that it's worked before. I think that's probably the thinking, really, that it's Lisby up front on his own. We covered that already.
We have, really. We have, but it didn't work yesterday, did it? Mm. What about the youth team? Anyone go to the game on Saturday? I thought that was a cracking game.
Afraid not, no.
No? Oh, well, that's the end of that then.
Not for me. No.
I didn't go. I took a weekend off.
Did you?
You can tell us all about it then.
Well, I thought the boys were very unlucky. They were 2-0 down against a very, very good Watford, especially front line. Their number nine was phenomenally fast, and it was our big centre half.
Watson.
Is it
Ainsley?
It wasn't Ainsley. They pushed him up forward.
I think it might be Eastman.
One of them, but he was caught out especially for their winner because just purely by the pace of this guy.
I think Ainsley's gone up front by then.
They pushed him up front and he scored the second goal, I think. But we were 2-0 down and came back, got an equaliser, so hit the inside of the post in the very last minute, and then lost an extra time, which was a shame. But just a cracking game, good atmosphere for a change, a lot of Watford fans there, for a quid, as best value entertainment I've had at Portman Road all season, to be honest.
Well, I thought that about one of the other games. The Crystal Palace Youth Cup match, I think, is probably the best game I've seen this season at Portman Road.
Isn't that funny?
Because it was 4-3 in injury time. Watford, I saw the first game, the one that was abandoned in the 88th minute. And I thought Watford were the better team in that, I have to say.
They probably deserved it on the balance
of the two games.
How could they have stopped it that close to the end, though? That's infuriating.
The referee shouldn't have started it, for one, because it was raining a lot. And it was inevitable that at some point it was going to get too much.
Just a bad call.
But 88 minutes. If he had abandoned it at 90 minutes or in injuries or in extra time, it would have the replayed match would have been at Vicarage Road. So he abandoned it after 88 to ensure that the replayed game was at Portman Road, so as not to compound his error further and presumably kind of moan that the game was a lottery, which it was. So there you go.
A face-saving tactic.
I think, yeah, but but it was very funny watching him stomp off the pitch with his ball under his arm.
Great picture.
Like my brother did when he was about 8, you know what I mean? After I just kicked him very hard. And, it was, and without any explanation, it was just players sort of wandering around going, well, what's going on then? You
know? Was it really that bad, the conditions?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it was, yeah. There was, yeah, it was quite... I mean, there's an area now you can see in front of the... Britannia stand about halfway that's a bit muddy, and it was that area of the pitch had become sort of quagmire-esque.
Alright, do you want to quickly look at the Reading?
Well, I think we should go for the playoffs quickly. I mean, are we
can we do that as well?
No, not going to make the playoffs. No,
I think it's leaving it late in the day, and there's so few games left now. I just can't see the late charge happening.
But what are we? We're 6 points from Preston, who are six.
Yeah, there's three teams. There's three teams on the same number of points. I think there's three teams 6 points above us.
I worry it's going to go to the same agony as it did two seasons ago. It got to eighth place, and it was, you know, the ups and downs. The table kept changing, didn't it? You remember the little window with the table. Oh, Ipswich will be in it. It's so and so happens, and it's not. But 2 minutes later, and then your hopes are up. And God help anybody who followed it that day on Sky Sports One. But
I have to say, I didn't know. This was last season, wasn't it? I didn't actually know that we were eighth until that someone had scored. I can't remember. It might have been Wolves, actually, wasn't it? Wolves got a goal late on that took them to seventh.
Yeah.
And it was made us eighth. It was one of those days when you kind of, you had all this expectation, and then after you kind of realised that it wasn't going to happen, you didn't pay any attention to that. And I don't think I knew until like Monday or something that we were actually eighth rather than seventh.
I think Wolves came within a goal, didn't they? Or so they scored another to go with it. It would have been enough.
Yeah.
I think there's only one place left. I think the third, fourth, and fifth teams are there, and there's one more place. I think it'll go to Swansea.
Swansea.
I'm counting Cardiff, Sheffield United in the top three.
Do we still have to play Swansea?
No, we played them twice.
We've done that.
Outplayed us twice, really.
Yes.
I think they do look like. I think they're significantly better side than some of those that are probably above them.
They've drawn too many games.
This season. They played very well, didn't they, I thought, but they lacked a cutting edge that day with Jason Scotland not playing. But obviously, I was going to say the Vetchfield, then that says how trendy I am. The Liberty Stadium, it was a different story.
Right, quick prediction first.
For Reading?
Yeah.
I can see a scrape in it in a sort of 1-0 type manner. Really, because that's sort of what
I think we have to, actually. It's gone past the stage of, you know, I think we need to win games.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I agree, really. I think playoffs are going to be too much of an ask because we have to kind of basically get 2-point-something points per game.
Yeah.
Johnny, what do you reckon?
Yeah.
2-0 to Reading.
Oh, dear.
Both Dan Harden.
Go for a completely different scoreline. 1-1. I think Town will do well to hold on to the one that will get caught later on by Reading's resurgence. So
well, that's quite
because we've obviously pulled two goals back against Charlton last night. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to be enough, but I think there'll be some positive play from Town for sure.
See, last time we were at Reading, we scored in the last minute, didn't we? And then they scored from the kick-off, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Right, we have to go. So on that note, one defeat, one draw, one win. I'm not going to say
that typifies Town season.
It does. Yeah, that pretty much. The supporters reflect the whole season. All just three fans in here.
A microcosm.
A microcosm of supporters. And thank you very much from this microcosm, which is Daniel, Johnny, and Phil. Till next week. Have a good one, everyone. Bye.